See, you didn't have to remind me, Donald or Leslie. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another Saturday Coffee Tea with me. And today we're happy to announce that we have a very special guest and a buddy of mine from the day after they told me I'd be dead 14 years ago. Here I am, still alive and kicking. Biggest pain in the butt you ever met. But this man is responsible. So if you want to get mad at anybody, at him. Without further ado, let me welcome in this morning John Burksteiner from Logos Nutritionals. Good morning, John.
Good morning, brother. How are you?
All right. So today, you know, I announced in advance that you were going to explain the different nutritional supplements in the protocol. The basic, as we both know, is the same 4 more gallons and lime, the other toxin. But the extension protocols are a little bit different. And people, you know, probably wonder, well, why? And what are those differences? And what are those differences going to do? And what do they address? So I thought, okay, this might not be a great idea. I could give the layman's version of my understanding and then let you come in and give a more specific insight to exactly what it is going to do, regardless of what I think.
Sounds like a winner to me.
Okie dokie. So in order to do that, anyone who can be on their computer while we're on the call, you might want to do that and join us in the protocol page. Okay, so when I'm on the protocol page and I scroll down to the Morgellons and Lyme basic protocol, and the first thing that I see that has anything to do with Logos, okay, is 2 thymic formulas. And if there was a pill, out of any pill, that some people seem to have an issue with, it's the thymic, it's the color, it's the size. But as we said so many times, this can be grounded down and thrown into a smoothie. That should never be a hindrance from taking what I consider the best multi... multi-formulated vitamin there is available today. Now, like I said, John will be behind me in a minute, and he'll go over these two. Now, the flora, well, we know that when we take certain negative parts of our protocol, that we could affect our flora, so we want to replenish it. And we know if we're a toxic disease sufferer that we've already had a tremendous attack on the good flora, so we absolutely have to integrate more all the time. Now, the Magnificat is one of my dearest friends because of multiple injuries during the course of my life and how it helps in reducing the how it helps reducing the inflammation, and that helps with pain. And then the Ubinol COQ10, it's a lot more than I think it is, but I always felt that it took me back to the days when we took phosphatidylcholine, and we also took, what did we take? What was that other name for it? I don't remember the other name, for what we considered a memory drug. So, I've done breakfast. I've probably really botched it up. So, let's bring John in to correct it.
No, you didn't botch it up. You did good. Yeah, it's basically, you know, those folks that have been around really already know that the protocol is really on the absolute cutting edge of natural medicine. And it's interesting because the protocol was actually put together by my dad, who was a nutritional pioneer who practiced preventive medicine in Savannah, Georgia for 38 years. And the philosophy of his medical practice was, if you maintain normal physiology, you prevent pathology and disease. And this harkens back to the concept of the bioterrain and, you know, and the development of Western medicine, telepathy, as we call it. The germ theory was really brought into the forefront by Louis Pasteur, who was the inventor of penicillin. And his greatest, antagonist out there in the scientific world was a guy by the name of Bernou. I think it's Jean-Claude Bernou. And his theory was that it's not the germ or the pathogen that's the problem or the challenge. It's the terrain, the bioterrain. And on Louis Pasteur's deathbed, he actually admitted that he thought he had made a big mistake in inventing penicillin, and he thought that Bernou was absolutely correct. And I certainly fall on the side of Bernou as well, because we've been preaching that for many, many, many years. It's not the pathogen that's the problem, it's the bioterrain. If we get our bioterrain working in proper order, then it will not only coexist with viruses and bacteria and all these other things that we have to contend with, but it will keep them in check. So in the reality, we are literally loaded with viruses and bacteria, and there's more bacteria living in our GI tract than there are cells in our bodies. We are living in a microbiome, or in a, you know, the macrobiome, our environment, but we have an internal environment, our microbiome, that has a lot to do with our health and the way we interact with the world and the way our body responds to challenges and so forth. So the idea of restoring the bioterrain is not a new idea, but it is an idea that has been resisted by modern medicine, that is still caught up in, you know, the same approach. The germ theory, the pathogen is the problem. And even today, as we all are locked down and, you know, huddle in our homes because of this virus that's circulating, you know, the government would have us all be hunkered down waiting for the introduction of their response, which will be obviously a vaccine. I will not be lining up to get a vaccine, and I hope none of you will either, because we know what will be in it, but we don't know what will be in it as well. I mean, we know that it'll have some harmful things in it because that's the way they do vaccines. But we don't know all of the things that they might put in it that we won't know. So I will definitely not be lying up to you. So the Birkensteiner Wellness Protocol, as I said, was developed by my dad. And the whole idea was, what kind of support do we need to introduce to the body in order to restore integrity to the bioterrain, have a strong and balanced immune response, have organs and organ systems that are working appropriately and properly, be able to absorb and assimilate nutrients effectively, be able to get rid of toxins that are both the ones that we produce in our body called endotoxins, and the ones that we're exposed to in our environment, exotoxins. All of those things have to work well for any kind of organism to not only to survive, but obviously to thrive. And from there, it's all about, you know, restoring cellular energy potential. So when you bring all these other things online, where so the body is detoxing appropriately, the body is able to absorb and assimilate nutrients appropriately, you've got balance and homeostasis, you know, in your endocrine system, your hormonal systems. All of those things happening makes things work the way they're supposed to. So when we talk about Lyme disease or any of these chronic degenerative illnesses, we see when you process all that information, what spits out the end of the line of the computer statement is compromised cellular energy potential. And when you have that, when your cells are tired, nothing else can work right. Literally, you're not making enough energy at the cellular level for anything to work the way it's supposed to. And that's what is going on when we first are introduced to someone, or someone is first introduced to Nell's protocol, is they are fundamentally flawed in their metabolism. They're not able to keep up with cellular energy requirements for things to work the way they're supposed to. So there are a lot of opportunistic pathogens that will jump on the opportunity to take advantage of that. And as y'all are well aware, quite often those are in the spirochete family, in this particular group of folks that are challenged with illness, whether it's Morgellons or Lyme. We know that most people who are dealing with Morgellons are also dealing with Lyme or some of its co-infections. Not necessarily the reverse is true. I mean, we don't always see Morgellons in Lyme patients, but we do most of the time see Lyme in Morgellon patients. So the protocol is, that is what it's all about, is restoring normal function, supporting every metabolic pathway in organ and organ system, and in the end, restoring cellular energy potential so that everything falls in line. And that's when people get their life back, they get their productivity back, they're able to function. And even if they are still harboring subclinical infections in the body, they can still have their life back and function and so forth.
John, I'm going to jump in and go to lunch, because the entire first month to 5 weeks of the protocol is about just that, rebuilding everything we possibly can in a short period of time for people to handle what's going to come when we attack the pathogen entity involved.
Amen.
All right, so at lunch we go back with some chymic formula, but not for dinner. And the reason is not for dinner, because the most potent, complex multivitamin on the planet, if you take it with dinner, you'll be up half the night. So we make these things morning and lunch, hopefully giving you a nice shot of energy. Now we're going to bring in the essential digestion to help you assimilate your food better, your liver CS plus. You've got to make sure the liver's going to function properly when it's time for you to start having your Herxes. Essential omegas, well, we need these oils. And we take one at lunch, and we're going to take twice as much at dinner. And then there's another one of those UBs. We want to keep that mind sharp, the pain down to as little as possible. I'm going to move on to dinner, and then I'm going to let John come in and finish off on the basic. Essential flora, once again, same as at breakfast. Now we're going back to digestion and liver, because lunch and dinner are usually the two bigger meals. Essential omegas, now we're taking twice as many, because when we're sleeping, they're going to really even work better. And then before bedtime, we're going to take a couple more Magnifical, knock down the inflammation, get rid of some of the pain, and allow you to sleep a little bit better. What do you think, John?
I love it. I love it.
Oh, not bad, huh?
Do you want me to run through the individual products and why they're in it and what they do?
Well, I think that, you know, for the average person who's like sitting on the fence, the more they understand, okay, and come to realize, the more they, I think, are going to be willing to kind of get involved because, you know, they're getting as much information today as it might have taken them a month to gather on their own. Yes.
So true.
So that was the long version. I normally don't do the long version. But yes, I want you to explain what those pills in the basic protocol all do in a clinical way. The way Peter would do it, Johnny.
Well, I imagine Peter...
Everybody brought you lunch?
I imagine Peter's with us today. He'll probably be able to impart some wisdom as we go along here.
Well, I looked for him, and I didn't see him, and I sent him a voicemail on Monday, and I still haven't heard back from him. So I'm hoping I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't even know. No, he's
no,
not here.
He told me he'd be here.
Oh, okay. I thought Aunt Laura would jump in here, too.
Yeah, I'm sure she will. Oh. We get to the Q&A section, everybody will jump in.
Yeah, that's probably true. They figure I'm going to talk first so they can come late.
So let me run through the products very quickly, Mel, on the base protocol. Half of the protocol, three out of the six products of the base protocol are aimed directly at digestion and assimilation of nutrients. So you've got the front half of the GI tract being addressed or targeted with the essential digestion. Those are your digestive enzymes. There are also some herbs in there that have a lot of proteolytic enzymes in them. But they also do some important things like promoting peristalsis, or movement of food through the GI tract. We want food to move through us sufficiently and get the nutrients out and then get the waste out so that we don't have a lot of undigested waste hanging out in the GI tract. That's just an opportunity for pathogens to not only get nutrition, but start to cause additional problems. So the enzymes are aiming at the front half of digestion, helping to break down food more efficiently and effectively, so that by the time it hits our small intestine, where the majority of absorption nutrients actually takes place, it's fully broken down and things are working well. The back half of the digestive system we address with essential flora, and you did a great job talking about probiotics and how important they are. They do participate in maintenance of the pH of the GI tract. They manufacture B vitamins, which are our building blocks for the neurotransmitters. So there's a huge, huge relationship between gut health and brain health. And that's why so many people that are suffering with Morgellons and Lyme also have to fight with chronic depression, anxiety, and in some cases, much more severe psychiatric symptoms, depending on what particular microbes they're dealing with and how they attack the body and where they attack the body. So digestion, probiotics, digestive enzymes, and the liver CS plus. Liver has to deal with everything we bring into our body. It helps us process toxins and protects our body from noxious elements that come in through our mouth, lungs, nose, whatever. Everything we eat, everything we breathe, our liver has to process. And so we want to be able to support stage 1 and 2 liver detoxification we want to be able to support the liver's ability to manufacture cholesterol and all the other amazing things that it has to manufacture, like coenzyme Q10, for example, that which you talked about, our Ubinol. The liver is absolutely critical, and when the liver gets overwhelmed with toxicity, that's when you start to see symptoms, typically rashes and outbreaks on the skin, because the liver can't keep up. So detoxification is huge in terms of restoring integrity to the bioterrain, and we do that with the liver CS. In addition, there are nutrients in there that drive the production and turnover of the body's ultimate antioxidant molecule, glutathione. So that is really, really important as we generate free radicals in the body and oxidative stress. Glutathione is one of three primary ways the body deals with oxidative stress. And it's a very, very important, probably the most important one. The other two are catalase and superoxide dismutase. But they are very important, but we actually do address those as well through the protocol. But more importantly is the things that we put in there, cysteine-containing amino acids that drive the production of glutathione. So there you have half of the protocol is aimed at digestion, assimilation, and detoxification. Then you've got the essential omegas. And omegas are really important not only for naturally thinning the blood and therefore heart health, but also they're profoundly anti-inflammatory. And controlling inflammation in the body is vital to controlling damage that is ongoing in the body. If you look at any kind of acute illness or injury situation, what you're looking at is inflammation that's actually doing the damage. And the body's response to a stimulus, it responds with inflammation, what we call inflammatory cytokines. They're proteins that are secreted by immune bodies in our immune system. So we use the essential omegas for all of those things. And not only that, omega-3 fats are literally brain food. Our synapses in our brain are literally made of DHA, which is one of the omega-3 fatty acids. So the junctions between our brain cells where we communicate in our brain are literally made of DHA. It is absolutely critical to brain function and heart health and so many other things. We have to have omegas in order to live. Then you've got Magnifical. Magnifical is all about heart health and bone health, but it's so much more. Magnifical is an absolute breakthrough in natural medicine that is, I don't take credit for it. As far as I'm concerned, it was divinely inspired because it is absolutely amazing. Magnifical is all about restoring calcium metabolism and absorption in the body. So what happens is we're all magnesium deficient because there's so much less magnesium in the soil than there used to be because of our modern farming methods. So we're all magnesium deficient, and when you become magnesium deficient, it compromises your ability to absorb and assimilate calcium efficiently from your diet. So you end up precipitating calcium into the soft tissues of the body instead of putting it into the bones and teeth where it belongs. And if you look at cancer, you show me someone with a prostate cancer, I'll show you someone with a calcified prostate. It is part and parcel to aging. It's part and parcel to disease states. Calcification is a big deal. It's also a part of the process of the development and maintenance of biofilms in the body. So when we take the Magnifical in the protocol, we are not only strengthening our bones, but we're strengthening our heart and our circulatory system, and we're breaking down over time biofilms in the body, which is critically important for Lyme patients, Morgellons patients, and really anybody dealing with chronic degenerative illness. So Magnifical is working on multiple levels, and our bones, strengthening our bones, it sounds like a great thing, and it is, but it's more than just, you know, what it sounds like. Our bones are the storehouse of the alkaloid minerals in our body that we use to maintain the pH of our blood. They're the source of the birthplace of many of our immune system cells are born in the bone marrow of the cell, our stem cells, or bone marrow of the body. So strong bones are critically important, especially, well, for everyone, for, you know, maintaining the body train, but especially for people that are chronically ill. Most of the time they're acidic, and the body has to work to maintain the pH of the blood, as I said, and the way it does that is to break down and access those alkalizing minerals out of the bone. And then the final component is obviously the thymic formula that Mel talked about. And that is the linchpin of our protocol and my father's legacy. And it is the most comprehensive multivitamin, multimineral, multiglandular that I'm aware of in the world. Just an absolute crazy formulation that you don't see things like this out there, because people in the nutritional products industry, they all understand that we are limited by physics, the amount of what we can put into a capsule, and pharmacokinetics, and there are a lot of factors that limit you when you are putting together natural medicines, and not the least of which is, what is the ceiling of the market that you can actually market something for? So when Dad put together the thymic formula, he didn't know anything about any of that, nor did he care. He was totally focused on how do I put together a formulation that is going to be profoundly efficacious, and that is what he did. So, you know, when in the industry, when you build a product, you observe limitations based on what you put in and how much you put in order to be able to, you know, sell something at a price the market will accept. So thymic formula is worth a lot more than we sell it for, but we don't sell it for what it's worth, because we're focused on helping people and changing lives. That's the bottom line. You know, you won't find anything else like it, because it has to be sold for a lot more normally. We don't have the margins in the protocol or the thymic formula that you normally see in the industry. That's part of why you don't see thymic formula on all the shelves everywhere, because it doesn't have the margin in it that the stores want to meet their rate of return. They're more concerned with rate of return than they are helping people. And
hey, John, can I jump in again?
Yeah.
All right, well.
Please do.
Okay, I now know why my favorite pill has always been Magnifical. Now, I'm 74 years old, but when I was 62 or 63, my dentist said I need to go to periodontist. I said, why? And they said, because your gum numbers are like 6, 7, and 8, and if you don't get some work done on them, you're going to be losing all your teeth. Well, I started the protocol probably only a little bit before that time frame, and to this day, I have not needed to go to the periodontist, because my gum numbers over the years have gone to twos and threes, and that's it, kids. Twos and threes. I'm all about two and three. I hear those numbers once a year. I'm happy. And by the way, I haven't had a cavity, not one, since I started this protocol. And last but not least, the only thing left that I could possibly model is my hands. And I owe that to Magnifical. Because I broke every single finger on either one of my hands playing hockey throughout my life and other multiple accidents. But the basic protocol, as I have often said, it goes another step. And John's daddy didn't care about so-called rules, limitations, and how much can we make. John's daddy was trying to develop a pill that was going to cure hepatitis, so he could go back and do his love's work, and that was deliver babies. And he accomplished that, which is something special.
Amen. Yes, it was.
So, I guess I should finish by saying I really believe in my heart that it slows down the aging process. I ain't kidding. I'm a wild man now, more wild than when we first started. But, you know, it's just because I haven't really aged a whole lot.
Well, it makes sense when you think about it, though, Mel. It really is the ultimate anti-aging protocol. It's restoring integrity to the bioterrain.
There are a few people who were here last week who will attest to that as well. Both Mary and Kelly told me they were willing to come to your podcasts and confirm my feelings about it being anti-aging, as they've both claimed they feel better now than even when they first got well, which is the point that I've been trying to make to people. You know, what's your health worth, kids? What if you never get sick again? What if when a cold comes on, it doesn't really happen, it just threatens to come on? People say to me a lot, sounds like you're getting a cold. Like, yeah, don't worry, it'll be gone tomorrow. Anyway, John, let's get into the extensions because, I find those. Well, let's see if anyone has questions about the basic, hey? Because I got an email here that I better open up. It's from Freddie Bean. Oh, boy.
Good idea.
Yes, Freddie, I did mute everyone because it did sound like someone was trying to play music on pots and pans. All right. Let me get over to, I have three browsers open here. All right, so I think the extension protocol came for Morgellons before the Lyme extension, don't you, John?
Yes, it did. Are we going to let him ask questions about the base protocol then?
Oh, yeah. You see how easy I forget? Let me go back to that browser. Anyone who has a question for John. Okay, we see a hand up already. Oh, wonderful. One of our favorites, John, Catherine of the Desert.
Aww.
Come in, hello, Catherine.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
ma'am.
Oh, hi, John. I said it was nice to have you here today.
Thank you, dear.
I wanted to ask you, we take the essential flora, but when do we introduce the Magnificent 7 flora into that protocol? When is that supposed to be brought in?
Well,
that's
Magnificent
7. Can I answer it first?
Absolutely.
Okay, because, see, I use Magniflora 7. And I think that it wasn't during the time frame that I was getting well that I ever used it. But it was after that I got well and kind of saw it like some people do when they're going through the process. And I questioned, well, what was it? And I was told it was different probiotics. Now, I could be wrong. Okay, and so I thought, well, gee, why not 1 month I take one and 1 month I take the other? So I did that for a while. But then recently, in the last 3 months, and this is no joke, I have a bottle of each, right with the Ubinol, and so I take two and two of each, and my two Ubis, and then I mix them up. So I take one of each every time, and I'm only getting crazier, so maybe it's good. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, well, if you're getting crazier, that's a good thing. That's definitely a good thing. There is some crossover between the two products. There are some of the same strains in there, but there is one in particular, which is the one that's the featured probiotic in the MagnaFlora 7, Bacillus subtilis. And we brought this product on because of the fact that Bacillus subtilis is a very aggressive probiotic, and it's very beneficial for people dealing with severe dysbiosis and like having diarrhea issues big time. It's interesting, the story behind it. Bacillus subtilis was discovered during the First World War when the Arabs and the Germans were fighting, and the Germans were being decimated with dysentery. And they started questioning the Arab soldiers as to why they weren't suffering the same thing. And they found out that when the Arabs got dysentery, they were giving them feces from camels. They were literally eating the feces from the camels, and that would cure them. So the Germans decided they didn't want to eat camel feces, so they decided to analyze the camel feces, and what they found was a large population of Bacillus subtilis. And that began a process of investigation of that particular probiotic strain that has still gone on to this day. It's one of the most researched strains out there. And it is a fantastic product. We use it in this product. It's also in our Zycran formula for the same reason. It's an aggressive probiotic that will go after pathogens. So it's a different product, but it's very good. And using them and going back and forth between them is fine. It's a good idea. We put the essential flora in our protocol because it's got twice as many strains in it. It's got 15 strains, and the MagnaFlora has only got 7. It's got a lot higher number of cells in it as well. So I think it's a better, preventive product, and that's why it's part of our protocol. But MagnaFlora 7 has its place for sure, and it can be used as a change-up, if you will, and also if you're dealing with chronic diarrhea-type symptoms, it seems to work really well of resolving that.
John, there's only one thing wrong with everything you said.
What's that?
This lady actually owns a string of camels. She races camels in the desert.
Awesome.
Don't you dare eat any camel, dude, Catherine.
I doubt we have to worry about that.
No, I know.
Especially
I'm just trying.
She has MagnaFlora 7.
All righty, now come on. There got to be other questions about the basic protocol because there are plenty of newbies. Oh, I guess between the two of us, we probably got it pretty good. There are no other questions at this time. All right, John, so let's go ahead and let's move into the extension for more gallons. Now, I believe this is where we now introduce Magnifazine, another product that I really came to really like. Okay? And I don't know that I could explain exactly what it does, but when I added it to the protocol, I felt like I started attacking the problem. So that's the first thing, and that's after rising. So why don't you explain what it's doing?
Okay. Well, as you guys know, Mel normally recommends people, when they get started on the protocol, they start with the base protocol for a month before they start to introduce the extension kits and kind of raise the ante, because the base protocol is all about building a strong defense. When we get to the extension, we're talking about, now that we've got some stability begun in there, we're digesting better. We're able to, we've taken stress off the liver, and we're able to detoxify more efficiently. Now we're ready to raise the ante and bring on some offensive components. And the digestive enzymes, and they're in the base protocol, do a great job of helping digest food and so forth. But magnifazyme is a systemic enzyme. It's a proteolytic digestive enzyme, but it is not for digesting food. It's for digesting cellular debris. It's a profound anti-inflammatory in and of itself. It also will thin the blood a little bit. So people that are on blood thinners, they might have to adjust their blood thinners when they get on magnifazyme, based on the fact that magnifazyme also thins the blood. But magnifazyme actually is a well-known proteolytic enzyme called serrapeptase, and magnifazyme is just simply our name for serrapeptase. Fantastic product, though, for, I'll usually describe it for the layperson as a cellular house cleaner. It literally goes through the body digesting cellular debris and things that aren't supposed to be there. And then when you couple the activity of the magnifazyme with the strategic influence of magnificale on breaking down biofilm in the body, you know, calcium is one of the things that holds together the three-dimensional structure of biofilm, the tertiary structure. When you start to break that up with magnificale by taking out calcium ions from the biofilm itself, now you've got magnificium going to work on the secondary structure of the biofilm. And when that happens, the biofilm is unraveling and exposing the pathogens to whatever antimicrobials that you are introducing into the picture, and the immune system itself. That's the whole point of biofilm, is these pathogens are able to evade the immune system and evade antibiotics or antimicrobials that are being used by hiding out inside the biofilm. So we're breaking down the biofilm strategically in multiple ways. And then when you introduce other antimicrobials like olive leaf extract, which is also a part of our kit, extension kit, that is a broad spectrum antimicrobial. And it works on gram-positive and gram-negative bacteria. And it has a broad spectrum activity that is very beneficial. And of course, Candida Rid is is another very broad spectrum antimicrobial. And obviously it's got some great antifungals in it, which is why we called it Candida Rid to begin with. Because it's very helpful for breaking down systemic fungal overgrowth in patients dealing with that. But it also has some anti-parasitics and other things in it. It's not a overly powerful formula in that regard, like Parabolish is. You only can take it for like 7 days at a time. Candida Rid is a lot milder, but it's very effective. So when you bring on the extension kit, you can see that you're really raising the ante on from an offensive standpoint going after what their specific infections and co-infections are that people are dealing with.
Okay, John, so when I tell everybody in one of our very first calls together with each person that if they're going to get well here, they're going to get sicker. And people so many times don't really understand that. And, you know, people sometimes have reaction immediately to the basic protocol. And I kind of figure that that has something to do with terrible deficiency. And then when they start the extension part of the protocol, and now we're attacking things in multiple ways, and they have these repetitious herxing time frames, okay, that, and it's always, in my opinion, because when we bust a biofilm pocket somewhere else in the body, then you're going to have another reaction because we're going to be able to kill those that are there hiding. So would you concur?
They are able to kill. Yeah, their body is able to kill those things because we're exposing them is what's happening.
Right. Okay, so, I mean, everyone knew, you have to understand, I'm not kidding. If it's working, you're going to feel bad. And I'm sorry, but everyone here who came before you has gone through it. All right, so now are there any questions? Is there anything else you want to say, John?
Well, I would just say this, that a lot of the difficulty that people realize, especially early on, is exactly that. It's a Herxheimer overwhelming the immune system or overwhelming the detoxification system in the body, and so you end up with flu-like symptoms and so forth. But that's why we want to start people on the base protocol first so that we can get them past all of that and get their immune system stabilized, their detoxification systems functioning before we start to raise the ante, so to speak, with more offensive tools.
Right. But what I'm trying to allude to here is that there are some people who have come to this website that they couldn't get out of their beds, they couldn't do anything. And then they got on the basic protocol, and they got sick for a few days, maybe a week, and then all of a sudden they started to feel really better, until, of course, they started the extension. And when someone has a terrible reaction from day one or day two of the protocol, I just think in my mind, and I could be wrong, that's why I'm bringing it up now, because someone is on this call that knows what I'm talking about, that, you know, if you feel miserable, well, that's normal usually. So let's not give up on doing everything in the beginning unless, you know, we feel that for some reason we have to treat you with what we call the gentle approach. But
amen.
I'm thinking back to Lynn, okay, who couldn't get out of bed, okay? And then, I don't know, Peter and I, we were talking to her, and like 5-6 days later, she was on her hands and knees. She said she had cleaned the whole kitchen, and she had all this energy, and we tried not to laugh. But we figured that she probably did have some kind of really terrible nutritional deficiency. And you can have a horrible reaction initially when your body's shocked with all these things that it hasn't been getting forever.
Well, Mel, you know, it's very interesting. When I told you when my father put together a thymic formula, he was trying to put everything you could possibly need into one formulation, and he did. But we quickly realized that a lot of people were in no position to take advantage of it because their absorption and assimilation capabilities were non-existent. And that's how the whole protocol was born, was the understanding that before you can utilize something like thymic formula, you've got to be able to absorb and assimilate effectively to begin with. So people who start off struggling like that, that's what I always tell them, is let's focus on digestion and detoxification first, and then introduce thymic formula, and and keep on giving more and more, as not more thymic, or not more of implementing more of the protocol is what I'm saying.
So right. Well, this is what when I was doing.
The more important it is.
Right. This is what we did the other day when we planned for that gentleman who was struggling. We set it up so that it was going to go ahead and build him up even before we would use this particular entity with him. Okay, good. Because he's on the call, and now he knows, that it's confirmed that, he's going to be okay. We're just going to slow him down. Okay. Is there anybody who has a question about the Morgellons extension? Okay. So then let's go ahead, John, and let's hit the Lyme extension. Because then again, we're going to introduce a few more things. Now, why did we introduce a few more things when we went to the Lyme protocol? Extension, excuse me. The Lyme extension protocol.
Well, basically with Lyme, most of the time, you're dealing with multiple co-infections. Lyme, the smoking gun diagnosis for Lyme is Borrelia, but most folks who have Borrelia also have access to other spirochetes because they hang out together. And so those of you who are dealing with Lyme, it's hard because the test, I was talking to someone about this yesterday, who may be on this call, but the testing is so inadequate. It's so frustrating. It's like if you send blood into three different labs, you're going to get three different results. And there's no standardization. It's just very, very frustrating. And but bottom line is, regardless of how you test out, what specific challenges that are there, the pathway back to health is the same. It's the restoration of the bioterrain, because that is the way the body works. And so this is the antithesis of modern medicine, which is to target the pathogen, target the symptom, mask the symptom, trick the body, create more symptoms, and move on. I mean, it makes no sense. So what we're doing is actually saying, how does the body work? How can we support working with the body, help things to work better? And that's what our protocols are all about. And it depends on what we're trying to target, what we're trying to accomplish. Whether you look at our Candida Cleanse protocol or the Bergsteiner Wellness protocol or Morgellons support or Lyme support or any of the other protocols, they all have specific things added for specific reasons. And when you look at the difference between the Morg program and the Lyme program, they're very similar, obviously, because restoration of the bioterrain is what it is. I didn't talk about Juvenal in my description of the basic, but for Morgellons or Lyme, the base protocol does include Juvenal because we throw it in at no charge. And Juvenal is targeting cellular energy production in the mitochondria, the cellular factory of energy in every cell. Without Juvenal or Ubiquinol, we can't make energy, can't make ATP at the cellular level. So the difference between the Morgellons extension and the Lyme extension is we have the Candida rib, the olive leaf, and the magnetozyme in there, but we added vitamin D3 because you can look at all the studies out there and you see that almost all Lyme patients are vitamin D deficient. It's probably true of Morgellons patients as well, but we don't have the data because Morgellons, as you know, is not something that's been accepted as is by the medical community. It's still thought of as a delusion, delusional syndrome. So it's hard to get the data. But we do have vitamin D3 in our base protocol, both in the thymic formula and in the Magnifical. But in the Lyme support extension, it's included as well, along with monolaurin, which is a very potent antiviral and antifungal, antibacterial compound that comes from coconuts. It's the active form of lauric acid. And then we have also added MSM, methyl sulfonyl methane, which is an antioxidant compound, very soothing to the soft tissues, to the gut. And some people think it has antimicrobial properties of its own as well. So the Lyme support and the Morgellons support kit, base kits are identical. The support plus kits are identical. They include the Renaissance activated whey, which I guess really I've always said the Berksteiner Wellness Protocol has six products, you know, thymic, essential digestion, flora, liver, Magnifical, omegas, and juvenol. But we know that the number of completion is seven, and we've always known that there was a seventh product that would show up, and it did a few years back in the form of Renaissance activated whey. My manufacturing partner is really a huge producer of protein powders, and some of the biggest distributors of protein powder are his clients. And he kept after me, why are you not using more protein, you know, with your customers? And I said, well, my customers are typically chronically ill people who have compromised digestion, and to load them up with a bunch of extra protein is just going to compound their problems. If you can break that protein down completely, pre-digest it, so that they don't have to do anything to use it, they can just use it as is, their body can put it to work, I would be all over that. So that's what he did. He and his best friend, who is also a contract manufacturer, but does works specifically in the protein in the enzyme industry, digestive enzyme industry, they figured out how to pre-digest whey protein in such a way that what's there, what's left in our Renaissance product is nothing but amino acids, all of your essential amino acids, and very small bioactive peptides. And very small peptides are very bioactive. One of them we talked about earlier, glutathione, is a 3 amino acid peptide. All of the peptides in Renaissance are between 2 and 5 amino acids long, and we don't even know what some of them do. I mean, it's crazy. It's like turning a canister of whey protein into a cornucopia of natural medicines all on its own. So when you add Renaissance to the protocol, you are potentiating the effects of every product that is in it and greatly enhancing the body's ability to regenerate and restore.
Because do you remember what I said when I got my first container?
Yeah, I think you said it was rocket fuel. Or what was
I it? Said it was rocket fuel for us old folks.
Yeah, it is. When
you make your smoothie with it, however you do it, okay, and you take the vitamins at the same time in the morning, you're able to absorb the nutrients better or more better. And it just, you know, it gives you that extra energy.
It does. That's the thing about it is when you start your day with that shake, you have sustained energy and you don't crash in the afternoon with energy because you've got the protein in your system. And that's very, very important, not only for sustained energy, but just, you know, the ramifications of sustained energy is way more than just having sustained energy. It means that your blood glucose levels are staying stable. And the great highs and lows of blood glucose are what causes damage in people that are dealing with diabetes, or even pre-diabetes, you know, the hypoglycemia and there's an epidemic in our country of people dealing with that insulin resistance and hypoglycemia and moving into diabetes. It is an absolute epidemic in our country. And it is gravely contributing to the development of all kinds of other degenerative illnesses. So
you know, John, there's one other thing in the Lyme extension that I was in love with before it was ever part of the Lyme extension. And that's the MSM, which so many people have gotten confused over the years with MMS, which is one of the reasons we changed it to WPS. Why don't you tell them a little about the MSM? Because I always thought, even when I had more gallons, I took that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's methyl sulfonylmethane. It's a sulfur compound that is found in all vertebrates, including humans. It's very well known in the supplement industry for joint health because it is very beneficial for soft tissues in the body. It's used a lot in veterinary medicine as well. And you see it used even in regenerative medicine. It's used oftentimes as a preservative with stem cells. But it's not used in the form of MSM there. It's in the form of DMSO, dimethyl sulfoxide. But sulfur is a very, very important, critical nutrient. It's the main mineral that is needed for activation of the glutathione complex that we talked about earlier. The glutathione is the ultimate antioxidant molecule in the body, and it can't function without sulfur, and that's why we use sulfur-containing amino acids to generate it and fuel the production of it in the body, rather than actually putting glutathione in the product, which is very poorly absorbed and very expensive. Rather than doing that, we use the precursor molecules, which are cysteine-containing amino acids that freely drive the production of glutathione. It's much more effective, much more cost-effective, and clinically effective. But sulfur is really important for inflammation. Also helps with alleviating pain, especially joint pain, and it's involved in protein metabolism, the health of our connective tissues, and so forth. It's just one of those nutrients that is very, very stabilizing to the body in across multiple different ways. Not only our, you know, structural integrity of the body, but even our hormonal balance in the body can be influenced with sulfur. You know, what we didn't talk about, Mel, was one of our offensive weapons that was developed a little bit late in the process. I mean, it hadn't been around. It's only been around a few years. And it's not part of the extension, but I want to make sure everybody knows about it because it's a very...
All right, let me just get this question in, okay, because this person's had their hand up for a while. So let's get this, and then we'll go on to that. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
All right, Ruth Ann, you had your hand up, honey. I didn't see it until just a minute ago.
Hi. Hi,
hey,
John.
Ruth.
This is Ruth Ann.
How are you, dear?
I'm doing okay. I have had some challenges. But my question is, if most people that have more gallons have Lyme, how do you deal with that? Do you add both protocols? And I was tested for Lyme and using the Western block, and it came back negative. But I've since learned that the Western block is not that accurate. It was done at a hospital. It's a hospital lab.
Western blot, Western blot is definitely problematic for both false positives and false negatives.
Okay.
The problem is they're not looking for the presence of Borrelia. They're looking for the presence of antibodies antibodies to Borrelia. So it's kind of like looking for ghosts. You're looking for the fact that Borrelia was present at some time, but it doesn't tell you that there's an active infection. It just tells you that your body developed an antibody to it.
Okay. So
what one does, Ruth Ann, is when they really feel that their co-infection is Lyme, they just switch over to the Lyme extension because it has everything that the Morgellons extension has and then a few extra things.
Okay.
Yeah, you definitely wouldn't need both.
That answers my question then.
Oh, no, I know that answered your question.
Well, I was thought, if you have both, do you take both the extensions? But
No.
The
Lyme extension covers everything.
Okay, I gotcha. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, John, you wanted to talk about one more thing, and then a friend of yours joined the call, so we're going to let him say hello.
Excellent. Yeah, the immune pulse is a tool that we brought in a few years ago, and it's really been fascinating because you can literally take someone who's symptom-free and put them on immune pulse, and their symptoms will return, at least for a short time, because immune pulse is so effective at going deep, and I call it a biofilm buster. But it's a unique product. There are, most of the time in alternative medicine or natural medicine, you're taking a much more less aggressive approach than you are with allopathy because you're not targeting symptoms and masking symptoms. You're targeting underlying causes of illness, and it takes time to see results. Well, with immune pulse, we've used a number of different herbs that are not supposed to be used on an ongoing basis for an extended period of time. So in the design of the product, we designed it to be pulsed automatically in the way it's in the directions for taking it. And it does have some majorly powerful things in it, but it's perfectly safe to take and use because it's, we've got the pulsing technique built into the way it's used. So you take it literally only during the week, Monday through Friday, for 3 weeks, and then you skip a week, and then start again. You go through three rounds of that, and then skip a month, and go through it one more time. So it's a very unique product, and one that I encourage people that are far along in their recovery, basically symptom free. That's when you should probably start to experiment with immune pulse and kind of separate yourself from this thing even more. I wouldn't recommend jumping on this up front. It's too intense and not needed as much as building the bioterrain is needed in the beginning.
Right. This was always something that I thought people could use when they thought they were all better, to double check, because this will double check you.
Yes, it will.
Yes, it will. All right. We did have someone hand up before we get to your buddy and my buddy. It's funny that we're probably both older than you, but we look at you as the parent. Yuck, yuck. I'm sure he's laughing too. All right, 330, Terry, is that you, Gia?
That is.
Your question for John?
Yes, John. I tested positive for Lyme, and this one product that I cannot take, and that's the MSM because of the sulfur. I'm allergic to sulfur.
Right.
Yeah.
Is
Don't
there
worry.
Anything else?
There have been many people who have had sulfur allergies, and I'm sorry we didn't bring that up when we were discussing it. But, you know, if you don't take that, that's not going to be the deciding factor. And now, sure, John will answer that question. Is there anything else you could take?
Well, if you're allergic to sulfur, then you definitely don't want to take MSM because it's, you know, it's just going to cause more inflammation for you. So you just avoid it. You don't have to replace it. You just don't take that. And if
okay.
if you're ordering the extension kit, and you can't take that, then obviously you need to let Jill or Glenn know that you need to substitute that out, either replace it with something that you'd rather take or just have them delete it and lower the price by the amount of that.
Magnifique.
And they do that for me. Yes, Magnifique is what they replaced it with. Yes.
That's an excellent idea because Magnifique is going to cleanse the blood, bind heavy metals in the body, and help alkalize the body, which is all of which are very, very beneficial.
Now, also, I have one more question. I'm at the end of my journey. I'm pretty much 95% there. Do you think I should start taking the immune pulse?
That's about the time I would try it. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So can you give me the directions on how you do that again? You said you take it for 2 weeks, and what did you say?
Well, it's all on the website. It's right on that page, on the product page, so that you won't be confused. It's right there for you.
Terry, I'll go over it with you. All right.
Perfect.
Is there any other questions for John on the
Lyme
extension?
Thank you, John.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Is there any other questions for John on the Lyme extension? Okay. Okay, we got a bunch of questions. All right, let's start. 218, who is that, please? Give me your first name.
Christy.
All right, go ahead.
My question is on the Lyme extension, I get severe heartburn from it, and then it's kind of a two-part question, and then my significant other was taking your digestive pack, and he was getting heartburn also. And the only thing I can think of, maybe it's because of the fillers, because we both eat differently. So I was wondering, could that be a side effect, or would that be the cause, is the fillers and the vitamins? Or why are we getting heartburn so bad?
On the Lyme extension? I'm sorry, my phone was on mute and I didn't realize it. So you're saying on the Lyme extension is giving you heartburn?
Yeah.
I bet it's the MSM, because it does that to some people.
Okay, and then with him, with his digestive pack that he takes, he's getting heartburn also.
Okay, what digestive packet? Is it something that John sells?
Yeah. Yep.
Which product are you talking about?
The digestive,
digestive enzymes? The essential digestion?
Yeah, there's like a pack of it. It's like a health pack.
No, it's one of your packages, John.
Okay, so let me look at this. He's taking the digestive health kit, probably. Let me look at that.
Yes, there you go.
Digestive health pack. Okay. That's got essential digestion, essential flora, liver CS, all of which are part of our protocol, and L-glutamine. And
yes.
he is actually getting indigestion taking this.
Yeah.
That's interesting because we literally see people all the time curing heartburn with essential digestion. Literally taking it, opening the capsule, putting it in their mouth, swishing it around, swallowing it without chasing it with water. Let it coat the esophagus and it will stop symptoms of heartburn within 2 minutes. So
weird.
I have literally, in 25 years, I have never had anyone tell me that essential digestion is giving them heartburn.
Hmm.
Okay. Okay, well, let me just say this. In the 12 years, I've never heard anyone tell me that they had that either. So I know everybody's body is different, but I'm not sure why it's happening.
Okay.
And I don't think John could answer that either, because in most people it does complete opposite.
Wow, that's weird. So then with me, it's probably the MSM, you said?
Yeah, more than likely it is. Yeah.
Okay. And then just substitute
us posted, okay, on the MSM. Now, with your boyfriend, here's what I suggest, that you guys play Sherlock Holmes. How many pills are in the package? 4?
I think so.
All right, so let's start with a pill, okay? See how that goes. Then let's have a second pill after 3 days. See how that goes. Then let's add a third pill. See how that goes. Now, if the second or third pill bring you up to that problem, we'll make a note, get rid of it, and add the last pill. And then we'll figure out what the pill is that he's having a problem with, and then maybe we could figure out why.
Okay, that's an awesome idea.
That's our Sherlock Holmes theory for people like me who need a theory. But thank you.
I've got
a
further suggestion, Mel. I like that approach, and I'm going to suggest that you take it in this following order.
Okay.
Tell him to start with the glutamine by itself, add the flora next, add the liver CS next, and the essential digestion last. And introduce those things one at a time in that order. And then I want you to call me and let's talk.
Okay.
I'll get you the number, Christy, in our next communication.
Oh, sounds good. Thank you.
All right.
You're so welcome, dear.
We don't have an answer. We'll go and get it. All right. Let's see. Now, who was second? Second was 336. And I know who that is, but everybody jumped in and out. There's so many people. Just give us your first name, and we'll take your question. Oh, boy. 336. I got you muted? Yeah. 336, come in.
Here I am. This is Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
I finally remembered how to raise my hand. So my questions are a little bit behind the topic. But the first question is, I've been taking olive leaf extract for several months now. Is there any reason to stop taking it? Please say no.
Well, why would you want to stop taking it?
Well, because technically, according to your protocol, that's something that would come after I started the initial protocol. It would come like a month afterwards or so. It's part of the extension.
Well, all right. So you were taking someone else's olive leaf extract or John's?
No, it's another brand. But
okay.
It was helpful.
Okay, no, I'm not
as good as John's, but
helpful.
Yeah.
I just don't want you to mix protocols. Now, if you don't have John's protocol in the house, then I would suggest that you go ahead and take it until you get it, and then just put this in the refrigerator until you're better. This meaning whatever you have, because there's a synergy with the protocol, and that's why we tell people we ask them, please, don't mix protocols. We're not going to be positive. You're going to get the results you want. But we are with the protocol that we've laid out, because as evident in last week's call, when 11 people came back spanning 10 years saying they're better because they could do the sum of the parts. And not everybody who comes can do the sum of the parts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I would say use it until you're ready for our protocol, and then use ours and either give it to a friend as a gift or put it in a fridge.
Okay. Next question. The Rejuvenase is not for people who have dairy allergies. Is there something that is used in place of that?
The Renaissance, you mean? Because the Rejuvenase...
One that has the whey protein.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Renaissance.
The Renaissance. Well, Renaissance has Rejuvenase in it. That's the proteolytic blend that we added to the whey protein to create Renaissance. Yes,
gotcha.
Ma'am. So that's an interesting thing. With Renaissance, you've got – it comes from whey protein, right, which comes from dairy.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not any lactose in it. There's not anything in it that should cause reactivity to dairy. It is literally amino acids and very small peptides, which is little chains of amino acids. So there's nothing in it that should cause people who are reactive to dairy to have a problem.
Okay, and there's no casein in it? Because that's also an issue.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
Then FYI, your literature says don't take it if you have dairy allergies. So you might want to follow up on that. But,
is that on the label?
Thank you. I'm glad.
Are you talking about the label?
No, not on the label because I don't have the product. It was in the literature that I printed out on Mel's website.
I'll take a look at that then.
Yeah.
What we do is we always err on the side of caution on labels, and if there's anything people are reactive to and there's something that is derived from that in one of our products, we'll put a warning label on the label.
Okay.
Even though it's not applicable. Like any of our products that have lecithin in them will have a soy warning on the label because the lecithin is derived from soy. But there's no soy proteins in the product. There's nothing that's going to, cause a problem related to soy. But we always err on the side of caution, just because we think that's the wise thing to do. And, have people study what they're taking, ask questions.
Okay, let me ask you this. Where did you find this? Was this in Tips for Beginners by any chance? Do you remember
where you... question. No, but I'll be happy to let you know when I reread it. Oh, when whey protein,
good.
Here you go. Page 3 of 7. Well, this isn't where the warning is, but here it specifically speaks about being whey protein. Whey is a product of milk. It's the fluid on top.
Is it in the page 3 of 7 in Tips for Beginners? Where, page 3 of 7, where?
I've just broken all these apart so I can file them in an order that makes sense to me.
Okay,
how about
when
I let you know?
Yeah, you'll let me
rather
know.
Rather than take up people's time, you don't want to. Trust me. You don't want to sit there while I look for it.
No, I don't want to sit there while you look for it. All right, let's keep moving. We got hands up here. And I want Peter to get a chance to talk. I unmuted him and he's sitting there so quiet, but the hands are not done. Okay, 731, is that you, Sue?
Yes, it is. And I got a question I want to ask John. I've had really bad issues with my O2 sat. I've got very long-term chronic breathing issues. And I got the ImmunoTabs. I was taking about 2 a day and Magnifigreens. And I was taking Mylorin 3 times a day. And my O2 sat is up in the 99 range still today. And it's improved and it's gone all the way up to a normal range. What do you think is the most contributor to this?
It's is normal.
To be able to breathe.
Is that amazing, Johnny?
Praise the Lord. That's awesome. So tell me, what are you taking that you contributed or that you attribute that
to? I was taking 3 Mylorins a day, and I started the ImmunoTabs, and I was taking them about twice a day, and also Magnifigreens. I don't know if it's a combination of them three, or but anyways, whatever it is, it's working. But I've never taken immunotab, so I'm thinking that may be a factor.
That's awesome. I'm so glad to hear that. I have a recommendation. Have you taken the Nitro Complex before?
No.
Oh, boy. Watch out. Rocket fuel.
Take a look on our site at Nitro Complex. And what it is a combination of amino acids that drive the production of nitric oxide. And that will enhance oxygenation of your tissues.
Okay. That sounds
women who do aerobics absolutely rave about that product because it gives them so much more stamina because they're able to oxygenate more efficiently.
Oh, yes, that sounds wonderful. I'll definitely probably be looking at that one and getting it. And I did want to add one thing. People having heartburn with those supplements, most any kind of medicines that are causing heartburn, especially you may want to eat food or drink milk with them, and that might actually cut down on heartburn factor, too. Take them with food if they're. That's the only thing I know. What I would recommend with that, maybe it would help.
I agree with you.
With the heartburn thing, because without it,
you cut
your stomach, food and or milk, and it may at least lessen the heartburn or take it completely out.
All right.
Thank you,
Sue. One more. Is that you again, Robin?
Yes. I have want to run something by John, and it may be a solution for the heartburn, too. I've been drinking apple cider vinegar, and I buy one that has turmeric in it, and then I buy the malt. And I have a glass that's probably 24 to 28 ounces, and I put 2 tablespoons of the apple cider vinegar with turmeric and 2 tablespoons of the malt apple cider vinegar. Then I add a little bit more powder turmeric, and then I add cinnamon because I'm diabetic. And I drink that. I fix it in a big glass. I leave it room temperature. I fill it with water, and I mix all that together. And then I drink on it all day long. And I drink probably a good almost half of it at breakfast. But I want to know, is it not good to drink it with the protocol, like when I'm eating breakfast, or is there anything I should not drink it with? And I noticed this when I was getting a little heartburn and I researched apple cider vinegar. They say apple cider vinegar cures heartburn. So I noticed when I was getting it and I would drink a couple of sips of the apple cider vinegar and water, it would go away. So I think it's a cure for it, but I don't know how it affects the protocol, and that's what I'm asking.
Well, it's not going to affect your protocol if you continue to do that. And it's one of those ironies that people who have heartburn, obviously, the instinct is to kill the acid in the stomach because that's going to help your heartburn symptoms. And, in fact, it does do that. And that's why one of the best-selling drug categories out there are the PPIs, the protein pump inhibitors, that stop the activation or the manufacture, if you will, of hydrochloric acid in the parietal cells of the stomach. However, there are a lot of reasons why God created us with an acid environment in our stomach. And literally, the stomach, the normal pH of the stomach is 2, which is extremely acidic. If you could stick your hand down into your stomach, you would draw back nothing but bone. It would literally eat the flesh off your hand. And that's important that it is that way because we need the stomach to be acidic as a buffer, if you will, against pathogens that come in with our food or that we somehow swallow. The acid inactivates pathogens. It also breaks down, in particular, protein. We can't break down protein without acid. And we can't we can't break down and assimilate and absorb minerals without acid in the stomach. So when we take PPI drugs, we raise the level of the pH of the stomach. It stops the symptoms, but wreaks absolute havoc on the body in the process because we're no longer absorbing proteins effectively. We're no longer absorbing minerals effectively. It causes issues with our hormones and our endocrine system. And back before the introduction of PPI drugs, we basically, cancer of the esophagus was unheard of. Now, you know, 20 years later, and into this little experiment that we're all living through of people living on PPI drugs, all of which, by the way, on the label say they should not be taken for more than 14 days. Now, cancer of the esophagus is the number four. It's the number four cause of cancer in the country, and it's all because when you raise the pH of the stomach, bile, which is enters into the stomach to help us break down fats when we eat a fatty meal, bile is not soluble at low pH. But at medium pH, which is what happens to the stomach when you take PPI drugs, bile does become soluble. And now you get bile coming up into this esophagus. And the cells that are lining our esophagus are not made to be exposed to bile salts. And when they are, they undergo carcinogenic changes. And so literally, My brother-in-law, who's a surgeon who does a lot of work with GI patients, for those of you who listen to our podcast, you probably might remember we did an interview with him last year, and he says that PPI drugs are going to be the largest class action lawsuit in history because they're causing cancer. And so this is a big deal. It's very important. And I know that it's no fun to have symptoms of reflux and acid indigestion, but we need to find a way to manage that is not going to compromise our health and lead us down paths that we'd never anticipate.
But the apple cider vinegar is okay mixed with
yes,
water?
Yes, in fact, most people who have heartburn issues who use apple cider vinegar do get relief.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question, John?
Yes, sir.
Why have you had me take a swig of apple cider vinegar with mother the first thing in the morning for the last 10 years?
Because you need enough acid in your stomach for things to work the way they're supposed to.
Oh, because every day I get up and it's like I go to the refrigerator, I can't even see yet, and I know I got to drink this stuff that tastes horrible, so I have to grab a frozen bottle of water to go with it. But
if
I've been doing it. I thought Peter taught us it was about helping the pH, too.
Well, it is. It is.
He's laughing about it. I have you unmuted. You haven't said a word.
He's getting ready. He's getting ready. The acid in the stomach in a 30-year-old is much stronger than the acid in a 70-year-old. So,
oh, now, wait a minute. Don't you pick on us old guys.
Hey, it's just the way it is, brother. And so
okay.
When you get to be in your 70s, you need to be taking it so that you've got so things do break down the way they're supposed to.
If you
right.
mix the apple cider vinegar in the water and put the cinnamon in it, and then I use one package of the stevia, it is delicious. We always are looking for something else to drink, and I just really enjoy it. But it's 28 ounces is what I'm drinking all through the day, and 4 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar with cinnamon, and then one package of the stevia.
Well, you and Ruth Ann can go into business. She can bake the cakes, and you can make the little drinks.
Do you have type 1 or type 2 diabetes?
All right, let me